Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Hager, and I'm here with my co-host, Kylie Fagnano, and we're chatting about women's health to teach you what you didn't know you didn't know.
It almost feels silly to say, if you've ever felt bloated, you're going to love this episode, because I don't know that I've ever met a single human being that hasn't experienced that. Now, I know a lot of us have a much more dynamic relationship with this topic than other people do. However, no matter what, a person can appreciate really basic, simple steps that they can move through in an organized effort to try to do something about a negative symptom, in this case, bloating. And that is exactly what this episode brings you, you guys. This episode with our new friend, Isabel, she's a dietitian, is all about bloating. And it's giving you both an explanation as to why you're feeling that way, but also really basic, simple, almost like annoyingly easy steps. And you'll hear us mention a few times, like, we know some of this stuff is not super sexy and it's not the shiny, sparkly thing, but why don't you just give it a try? Here are the things that you can try adding into your routine, and here's why they might work. So it gives you a little bit of that background information to really solidify the motivation to try adding some of these things in. And I'll tell you, spoiler alert, a lot of this stuff is totally free. It doesn't involve any testing, and it doesn't involve taking out any of your food or adding anything in for that matter. So it was an amazing episode. We are so grateful to have had Isabel on with us and to have, like we keep saying, make a new friend. We hope you guys really, really enjoy this. And without further ado, Isabel.
Meg, this is going to be a fun one.
I know.
So I should have brought my glass of rosé to...
Yes. Where is the rosé? Oh,
1,000% you should have. Yeah.
Absolutely. What are we even doing if it's not rosé involved? What's happening?
I'm telling you, I'm so glad that you said yes. I'm so glad you saw my message, because I'm sure you get thousands of them. There was something about this. I think I said this to you, Meg. I just have a feeling this is a person that we want to talk to. Mm-hmm. This is like one of us. Because we have had a few conversations with my personal like friends and colleagues who I fully respect and really love as friends. It is a different thing when you're on the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
If you don't have that like back and forth, there's not a personality that comes through. It's like... Yeah. Okay, because it's informational and that's fine, but it's not the same as like just having a chat or listening to a chat with like girlfriends, you know, it's just different. Yeah. So I'm excited. This is going to be great. Let's do bloating because Meg, I think that is going to be, we've had a lot of like kind of general gut stuff, but nothing really specific. So let's dial in.
I agree. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
So I guess I shouldn't have just put a lifesaver in my mouth that I'm about to crunch. I just thought about that.
No, that's perfect. You should have.
I'm eating a snack too.
Yeah.
Come as you are.
This is not a snack.
Lifesavers. I haven't had one of those in so long.
I just found it at the bottom of my purse. So I'm not sure how long it's been in there. But
oh, this is a fun game. This is a fun game. What do you have in the bottom of your purse, Kylie? What's like the weirdest thing you've ever found in the bottom of your purse?
A maple honey ginger drop. What is that?
Was that a tampon?
It's a doggy doo-doo bag.
Oh, I thought it was a tampon.
I have one of those too.
Oh my god. Is that a globe bracelet? Yes.
You know those games that you play at baby showers? Like, what do you have in your bag? You win.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Isabel wins this round for sure. For those of
the
you
best
who can.
Is my mold detox my mold detox protocol.
We all need a travel size of that.
Oh my god.
Hey, I owe my life to this.
Literally,
I had a terrible I do. Yes, I'm now able to eat peanut butter and almond butter because I detoxed my mold thanks to this.
I saw that. Yes.
That is so cool.
Wild.
Good for you.
We'll have to do a mold episode.
I think we should.
Mold should be done. Mold is so pervasive and everywhere. and so underfounded mm-hmm. and underdiagnosed and it's mm-hmm. just, it's everywhere.
Let's do a round two. We'll do it with Multiple Planet.
Yeah. Round two, mold. That sounds wonderful. Mm. So now that we've discovered what's in the bottom of your purse, Isabel, what are we drinking today? What do you have over there? Anything fun?
Just some leftover water that sat in my car for 3 hours during a funeral.
Coming in clutch with the water bottles. Excellent. The warm water bottles. The car water is the best kind. The one that's been sitting out in the sun in the hot car for 3 hours.
I just ran up the stairs. Right. I was like, I have a podcast to be on.
Sorry, Mom. I got to get up there.
Gotta go.
Meg, I don't have anything fun over here either.
No, I don't
have water. I just finished it.
Oh, well, I don't have that. I mean, I don't have anything new, but I have my
smoothie. You have your Ovacetol.
I do. I have my Ovacetol smoothie / Ovacetol. Mm. We don't know how to say this word. So somebody please help me. Like somebody Ovacetol. Please tell me. Is it Ovacetol?
Ovacetol. Because it's inositol, I think. It's inositol, so it must be Ovacetol.
No, that makes so much sense.
It could be Ovacetol.
That makes so much sense.
I mean, it could be any one of these.
Meg is notorious for choosing how she wants. She just, like, decides, I'm going to say a word this way. And everybody knows what she's talking about, so it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
On our last, like, I'm going to do it this way. Whatever.
On our last episode, I think I said cacophony, but I think it's, is it cacophony? I don't know how you say it.
It's cacophony.
No, you did it right. Cacophony. Cacophony. I would say cacophony.
I have never heard cacophony in my life. I have always heard a cacophony. Cacophony.
No, you're right, but I would say cacophony.
Listen, I just calls it as I sees it, all right? That's how it sounds. It looks to me. That's how I'm going to say it.
Incredible. Incredible. Oh, my God. I am so glad we are all doing this together.
Me too. This is like a perfect Friday afternoon.
This is a perfect Friday. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Let's see. Now, Isabel, why don't you tell us who you are? Tell us who you are and why you can tell us about what we're going to talk about. Go ahead.
So I'm Isabel Smith. I'm an integrative registered dietitian. And we do a lot of, I have a business, Isabel Smith Nutrition, of course. I will never call another business after myself, but I did when I started it. So we work primarily with gut, thyroid, hormone, allergies, and histamine, but we do a lot of other work as well, as I mentioned before. We do dabble in some social media stuff, some, you know, press and media as well, but really we do client work most of the time, both one-on-one, and then we're launching our new group.
So fun.
We work with clients in a variety of different ways, and I work with all ages. So I've got kids I work with. We have 95-year-olds. You know, health can be achieved at any age. I don't work with teeny weeny babies because I just don't feel comfortable at a distance. I want to be able to, like, put my hands on them if I'm going to work with them. And so I don't, you know, we're all remote now. So, but I do work with kids, which I love.
Oh, that's awesome. So you got the whole thing there, a whole smorgasbord
lifespan
of things.
we cherry picked, guys, one of her brilliant things that we're going to chat with you about today. And that's going to be something that I know you've all been dealing with, bloating. And we've kind of talked about bloating in a few of our episodes related to a variety of things, but we're going to choose this one to really, really dive in. And then at the end, we'll share with you a bunch of action items that you can go through, right? Isabel will give that for us. And she'll give you an amazing option that she has actually just started to launch soon, right? It's not even quite available.
Well, it was going to be
by the time you hear this.
Correct. Yes.
So, okay. Let me start by saying this just to, like, paint a picture. Out of the number of people that you work with, for any variety of reasons, and you could just estimate here, how many of them would you say come in complaining of bloating, whether that's why they're there to see you or not?
At least probably a third, honestly.
Yeah.
Or it comes up, like, sometimes it doesn't come up in the initial conversation, but like right. You know, a month and a half later, they're like, oh, by the way, did I tell you that I can't button my pants? And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that at the beginning? You
know, sure did not. Yeah,
right. So a lot. And that was one of the reasons why we really kind of honed in on focusing on bloating, because it, across the board, across different, you know, conditions and different things that people were looking for, sort of was like, what was a really consistent commonality? Bloating. More so in the last couple of years, and we can talk about that, but big time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious about, and I mean, maybe we'll get to this, so I know it might be a little early in the conversation to jump in, but I'm just kind of dying to know, we know that food plays a big role in bloating, but I'm very curious about some of the other reasons, like the non-food related reasons that could cause bloating. And so I'm wondering, are we feeling like now is a good time to dive into that?
Dive juicy in, stuff? Meg, okay. You okay, took good. The question right out of my mouth. Go for it. Like, what are we waiting for? We don't need to set a theme. Do it. Go for it.
You know, I think one of the things that's contributed the most to bloating in the last, two or three years, which is really the time frame that we've really seen a spike in it, is A, stress. I think stress plays a tremendous role. Being chronically in fight or flight mode, we're not digesting properly. We're not even looking at our food. The body is super confused about, is it time to digest or is it time to like run from a tiger or like what's happening? Don't put food in me, but then we put food in the body and just it ends up being a bloating situation. So that's one of them. And I also think the second piece that I'm going to say is that I think that the stress piece really begets the hormonal, I'm sorry, hormone. That's also, but dysbiosis, bacterial imbalance piece of things. And I think the stress has fed this crazy dysbiosis situation, gut bacteria imbalance, which lends itself to leaky gut, which is really why people are food sensitive, not really due to too many other reasons, right? But then the stress also has contributed to thyroid dysfunction, hormonal dysfunction, right? People aren't sleeping well. So that changes digestive chemicals, hormones, you know, not to mention any kind of structural functional stuff that would relate to bloating. But those are kind of like the things we're seeing the most, the stress, the dysbiosis, maybe SIBO, SIFO, mold exposure, you know, just chronic kind of lack of rest and digest is really, which can contribute to any of these other things that have been going on. I think people's bodies are exhausted.
Yeah. You know, I saw a study, maybe you guys have come across this too, and maybe there are more than one. This is just the one that I saw, but there was a study I was reading that showed the gut bacteria can start changing and adapting to a diet change in as little as 24 hours. And that's just with food. So I can only imagine that if your body thinks it's in a state of danger for that period or longer, I can only imagine how quickly something like stress or feeling like you're in that fight or flight can totally disrupt your digestion and your whole system.
100%. There was I don't have my finger on the research, but it was a couple years ago. I could find it if we wanted to. Like one episode of stress for a period of like more than 4 or 5 hours had a significant impact on the profile of the microbiome, right? So if you're imagining that this happens over and over again, somebody who's in like a chronic stress scenario, right? Then we're ending up in a situation over even a couple of days' time that the bacteria is really adjusting to what's going on in the environment. God. Right.
Oh boy.
And, you know, but I think also that changes like food and sleep and like all of that. Mm-hmm. And then we have this, you know, snowball that's rolling.
Now, I had this conversation with a client a while back. And because I know there's a lot of people listening to this who are teachers or moms or nurses or, I mean, even dietitians, like people, we are all stressed in our own ways just throughout the daily life. So can you explain the difference and the impact that it would have on someone's how prone they might be to developing bloating if it's stress related? The difference between like going through your day to day, what might be considered normal and maybe not harmful, and something that could actually really start impacting the gut. I don't know if there's a concrete way to differentiate from that, but I just don't want people listening to this and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to totally ruin my gut health because I have this stressful job, you know, or life.
Yeah, for sure. And none of this information is to scare anybody, right? This is just like the reality of life right now. And I think we're going to like discuss like strategies so that you can really help your bacteria, right? And I think it's always a balance of like the bad to the good, right? And the more good we can do, the less the bad really matters. And, you know, stress can be super helpful, right? Stress is good sometimes, right? It's motivating. Right. It's, you know, it can be a really positive. It's when you're in a chronic fight or flight for a sustained period of time and the body gets exhausted, right? When the body gets exhausted, all it's doing is trying to keep you alive, frankly, right? Like we're extremely evolved beings, but we're really archaic in terms of how our bodies respond. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that, right? And I think, you know, our bodies we've survived for so long because we can survive in these extremely stressful scenarios. Mm-hmm. But I also think it big impact is how somebody processes stress, right? Some people are able to really, I'm not one of them, so I'm working on it. Not totally you know, taken over by the stress, right? Some people are able to kind of see the stress, acknowledge the stress, like put it in a little box. We see it's right here, but we're not like, it's not like totally in our being. And it's really those people, honestly, I think, who can actually manage really chronic stress for a long period of time because they're not completely bathing in it, right? Mm-hmm. But they're able to visit their stress, see their stress, use it positively perhaps, but then have really positive strategies for not being totally taken over, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It does make sense. I don't know that I relate to that at all. But I believe that those people exist. I believe they exist. Actually, just quickly, maybe we'll just use this as a segue because I want to capture this right now, actually. We're saying stress, and so many people, I know they'll go to a conventional doctor and they'll be told, oh, you're just stressed. Oh, it's anxiety. Oh, you're a mom. Oh, this, oh, that. And it feels very, very dismissive. So explain just a little bit about how, because we know that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is saying like, hey, don't forget this component, which is pervasive in your life. You can't escape from it. We really do have to do something about it. And that's part of why you're experiencing bloating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'm sure at that point, there's like a laundry list of complaints. What can people do for the stress piece particularly?
One of the easiest, most inexpensive, least time consuming options is actually to just breathe. A couple of deep belly breaths can literally re-educate your nervous system on what's happening in your environment, right? Breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system, activates the vagus nerve, which is a nerve that runs down the left side of your neck and all through your digestive system, which really allows for the rest and digest that I keep referring to be a possibility. Three or four slow, deep breaths in your car, when your boss leaves your office, when you're whatever, that in itself is always accessible. And I think we forget that. Breathing is one of the most effective ways to access where we're trying to go.
I think that people don't want that to be the answer because it's not sexy. It's not. It's not like, I'm doing a thing. Or it's like, it's too close to being meditation. And people sort of assign themselves the label, I am not a meditator. And that might be true or it might be the story you tell yourself, who knows. But either way, I think people, they forget and they like are unwilling to believe that it can be that simple, right?
Yeah.
And I think recognizing when you're in these like moments where you feel like everything's kind of boiling over, or maybe you don't feel that way, but you know you're stressed, the more frequently, I just did it like, you know, Kylie, while you were talking, like, three deep belly breaths, right? Like you didn't know I was like, I didn't look like, you guys can't see us by this point, but like you wouldn't have known I was like doing that. Never. The amount of times, if you can do that a couple of times in the day, that just keeps throwing your nervous system back into an actually more restful place. And the more we practice that, right? the more the nervous system is kind of able to relax. That can be the only thing you do. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to do anything. You just breathe, literally, like not upper chest breathing, but breathe in your belly. Feel the air in your belly, expand your belly, and do that a couple of times. It actually, like, there's a feeling to it, right? Like you just kind of feel a little calmer. Just practice that. If you do nothing else, if you take nothing else from this conversation, try some breathing.
Honestly, I've been doing it while you're talking too.
I was just gonna doing it.
Yes, I can see it in your eyes. And it does. You feel it. I'll tell you what. Brian just said yesterday, you know, sometimes a deep breath just resets my day. And I didn't want to go into it. What I want to do is like,
yes.
Do you listen to anything I say ever? Do you ever? But what I said was like, oh, I know. That's so true. I know. Good for you.
You're so smart.
He doesn't listen to these.
You're so supportive. Smart. But it's true, though, you know, I think accessibility, we forget the accessibility of simple choices and simple, you know, things we can do. And I think I do too, right? We want it to be like bigger, sexier, sleeker, shinier. We all have shiny object syndrome, you know, but it's foundational. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. So stress, this could be a whole series of interviews, to be quite honest, but touching on it, one thing that everybody can think about going home and doing, or while we're speaking doing some deep, and I think I like the clarification of not up in your chest, like you're holding your breath, but like feel your belly expand into your hands. So do that right now, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Everybody do their breathing exercises.
Yeah,
because you have to relax your belly to get the air into it, right? And just that relaxation simply of the abdominal wall, simply just to get the air into it, really educates the nervous system and the vagus nerve, you know? And that alone can change the hormonal cascade that's, you know, free-flowing in your body.
Wow.
You know, let's also acknowledge this. How many of us feel uncomfortable feeling our bellies get bigger in our hands? Like that is a thing for people where they're like, no, I don't want to feel my stomach expand any more than I already feel it is, especially for people who are bloated. That feeling can feel sort of like mentally uncomfortable, if you know what I mean. Not physically uncomfortable, but emotionally, like, which is an interesting thing. So if you're feeling any of that stuff come up, maybe just pay attention to it, acknowledge it, let it happen anyway, because that's maybe another conversation to have.
And if you feel like you can't put your hands on your belly while you do it, don't. Put your hands by your side. Put your hands in your lap. You don't have to touch it. We just want you to feel it, right? Feeling of the space that you create when you breathe. If we all did this, even just twice before we ate, I guarantee you, your food would digest so differently because your belly is actually able to receive the food that you're eating and your body's in a place where it understands that it's in a more rest and digest place. So, hey, that food that you're eating may not be as difficult for you to digest, literally.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool. I also personally love the feeling of exhaling. Like it really makes me, it's kind of like a very physical thing where, like, you know, you're just like, whew, like letting things out, letting it go. That's like, so I love that.
It feels like a physical release. It is.
It does.
It feels what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isabel, will you just briefly go through, so we're saying rest and digest. We're saying that this breathing exercise will literally allow your body to receive food. Can you just explain the connection for everybody as to why that is? What is the role with the vagus nerve and the connection with your brain? And we all know this gut-brain connection, right? And this isn't even the first time that we've talked about it on this show. Yeah. But explain it in the context of bloating and eating and how all that works.
Yeah, so there's basically a superhighway that runs between your brain and your gut, right? And it's like, it's a fast-flowing, free-flowing highway of communication, right? Gut, brain, gut, brain, gut, brain. You know, your body is always communicating with itself. How are we? Where are we? What's going on? Am I safe? Should I be taking energy right now to digest? Is it safe for me to send blood flow to the gut to digest the food right? Or is there some other danger, right? Remember, because we are really ancient beings in a very modern, you know, society, but not fully evolved to manage the stress that we're currently living in. So what we're trying to do when we're slowing things down is we're trying to get the memo from the stomach into the brain that says food, you know, safe, blood flow, please, right? So that your brain can send the message to the rest of your body to do the work we're trying to do versus, you know, when you're running or something like that, you know, the gut brain highway is like, no need for digestion. I need to send blood flow elsewhere, right? So, okay, how do we keep the person running? We increase cortisol. We increase these hormones that keep the body moving, right? And we don't need to digest. Who needs to digest? So if you eat that sandwich maybe while you're sprinting and you notice you vomit, right? Body says, no thanks. I don't need to pay attention to that right now. Eject. So when we're talking about this rest and digest thing, we're trying to get the gut and the brain to communicate about the state of the being and trying to get more attention to the gut to digest and to kind of organize what's happening in there, which can only happen if we aren't doing a million other things.
Wow. That's like one of the best explanations I think I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Simplified.
And then I think the reason that the breath comes into play is not to say that stress all of a sudden dissipates, but you allow your body to at least perceive in that moment something slightly different while you eat, and then you go back to your insanity. Because I think the problem that people have with stress and accepting solutions to it is because there's this misunderstanding that in order to be calmed down from stress, the stress has to all of a sudden disappear. And that unrelatable. That's just not going to happen. You're a mother of young children, you've got a busy job, or none of that, and it's just like you've got a lot on your plate.
Just adulting in general.
Yeah, the idea that you're just going to be stress-free, and this message that it was like, oh, just manage your stress, equaling no stress. Nobody relates to that. I don't. And I don't even have half the stress that other people do. So I think what you're saying is like, don't try to get rid of it. That's not what we're saying. Now, are there components to perhaps being able to? Yes. We're saying use a tool to tell your body a different message than what it's currently receiving, right? Right?
Yeah, exactly right. So that in this moment, we can try and do what we're trying to do better, which is digest your food that you are wanting to eat, right? And get through your body in a more comfortable way. Let's just allow your body a moment to try and do the function that we're trying to do, that we're trying to execute. That's it. Right. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Move on. Moving on. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So good.
Good. Okay. All right. Other than stress, right, Meg? Is that where you're going to go?
They took the words right out of my mouth.
Perfect. Keep going with some other reasons, because some people are going to be listening and like, okay, I get past the stress. I manage it. I do all the things. I don't relate to that.
Yep.
What else might they be thinking about?
So for women and men, hormonal imbalance can be a big one, right? We find that a lot of women get, and this is not just women. This can be men in other times of, you know, the month, whatever. But women prior to period, right? Some women 10 days prior, some women 7 days prior, some women entire cycle, right? Maybe except for when they're, you know, bleeding for a couple of days, bloating, right? And this is not so uncommon, but does highlight usually the need for A, some hormonal work, and B, some gut work, right? Gut bacteria communicates with each other about hormone release. Yes, there's other functions involved, liver and other things happening, but at the very fundamental level, the gut bacteria communicates about hormonal release. So, you know, when we find that women are extraordinarily bloated pre-period, you know, usually we'll do some gut work first, or we'll do, you know, just kind of level the playing field. But at some point, you know, we'll probably have to look at both the gut and the hormones, but we always start with the gut, because if there's hormonal stuff going on and somebody's real bloated around their cycle, we usually go back to gut bacteria and take a look at what's going on. Usually I say that there's some monkeys in there that need to be reorganized. You know? Yeah.
I love that. Now, is there any, I know that of course this stuff, it gets really messy and really individualized, but is there something, just something or a few things just across the board that are general that maybe listeners who resonate with this can start doing right now on their own?
Yeah.
For that?
So often, yeah, for 100%. I find usually, this is a general statement, a woman's regular bowel movement pattern will flip in the if they're going to have problems with it. So like women who are usually pretty normal may get pretty regular, I should say, may get backed up. Women who may run a little more backed up, in fact, may have diarrhea. Frankly, I'm a little less concerned about the diarrhea, folks, prior to period, although it's kind of a pain in the neck or butt, rather. But it's more.
Yes, we love butt puns on this podcast.
Thank you so much. That was great. So glad you didn't let that slide.
but usually it's the constipated ones I worry about the most, right? Because one of the ways that we detoxify and as our hormone levels are changing throughout the cycle and hormone levels are decreasing as we get closer to a period, we really are throwing the excess hormone into the digestive system for excretion. Well, that's lovely as long as you're actually excreting. If you're not actually excreting, we are creating more chaos in your system. And that is a real problem. So I'm going to focus on those folks because I find that those with diarrhea, we need to have a separate conversation about, right? You could use some psyllium perhaps, or, you know, we could eat some more binding foods to kind of create a little more bulk. But it's those who are more constipated that really run the risk of having even more trouble. So, you know, depending on, you know, like no medical advice here, but things that we like to recommend sometimes are magnesium, you know, like an oxide or a citrate usually, or we'll do a little aloe, concentrated aloe juice. You know, we might try some digestive bitters. We might do some self-massage, heating pad, some yoga twists, you know, to help with just moving things along. You know, anytime we twist, we move the intestines kind of, you know, jimmy rigged and things move a little better. You might, if you're a chronic carb eater, you might try, you know, eating more like root vegetables instead of like, you know, more carby foods because they do end up acting like a drain plug and feeding and eating in concentration around a time where you're also, you know, constipated, making sure you're drinking enough fluid. Electrolytes can be really important, making sure your, you know, fluid balance is proper, you know, coconut water, vegetable juices, things like that.
Wow.
So
I'm
pooping
loving all of
this. Is poop, please. That is my
number one.
Yeah.
Those are amazing suggestions. They're super obtainable. They're not super crazy. No testing involved. You guys can go out and do any number of those tomorrow if you want or need. Yep. So thank you. Thank you. That tangible action stuff is what I wanted to give. So, so connect that to bloating. So basically you're saying constipation can be a huge source of bloating,
huge.
Regardless of where that constipation is coming from. Because of course there's a root to that as well.
100%. And that we want to sort out, but we realize that in the moment, you know, if you're somebody who drinks out of straws, drinks carbonated beverages, drinks a lot of canned beverages, you know, by the way, those canned beverages, the aluminum cans have plastic in them and a lot of other things. I have found even if they are not carbonated, removing clients from chronic aluminum can consumption actually can make a real big difference on the gut. Because you're also consuming heavy metals and other garbage in there, right? Which can add to the toxic soup, which usually is a problem here. Chewing better
too.
Yeah.
100%. You know, chewing your food, eating more slowly, you know, noticing if you're really super stressed and not choosing to eat your lunch in the moment where you feel like your stomach's in a knot. All of these things can help with better movement and helping with constipation and B, bloating, especially if you notice around the time of your cycle that this is happening. But at any time, any of these things work.
Wow.
So let's just, I want to recap, Meg, because this is really, really interesting. So many of the things you just said require no professional, no money, no testing. They're not fancy. They're not shiny. They're not sexy. But we forget that these things exist. And then we get stuck in this cycle of being overwhelmed and information overload. And we feel like there's nothing that we can do to help ourselves. So I hope that those of you listening are really hearing this and not just saying, oh, I've tried that. Oh, I've done that. Have you? Like, really think about it. Have you committed to doing some of these things for a period of time and really paying attention to how it does or doesn't impact you? Now, Isabel, tell me if I'm wrong, but I imagine that for some people, that's not going to cut it. For a lot of people, it's probably going to be amazing or take the edge off. But I'm sure, you know, the reason that we're all in business here is because it's not always enough. And what are some of those kind of way more intense, really need a lot of intervention and a lot of time, a lot of time to be able to come back from that will cause bloating.
You know, I think, first of all, you got to go through all of those things I just discussed really before, not before, alongside at some point, regardless of whether you've got like nasty parasites or not, or whatever's going on, right? You need to do all these things either way. So even if, you know, the next step would be saying, okay, I would wonder if there's something living in your gut that doesn't belong there. Or did you pick up a bug, or did you pick up a bacteria, or what's going on? You know, so we would probably do like a GI map or, you know, a something like it. Take a look, make sure you don't have nasty bacteria living in there. You might have H. pylori, which could contribute to upper GI bloating. Not so much lower, but it does impact the lower GI. You could have candida. You could have had a mold exposure and now have candida. You could have parasites. You could have a whole host of things, bad low levels of digestive enzymes. You know, lots of things could be going on. And these things, you'd need to work with a professional. You'd need to get a stool test. You'd need to work with somebody who really knows what they're doing. Because I will say, and Kylie and Meg, I'm sure you'll back me up on this, there's plenty of people ordering GI maps these days, and there are plenty of people who don't really know what to do with them. Just because the test is available, right, doesn't mean the professional is going to really look at the test and then look at you and really hone in the specific recommendations for you. Because just because it shows up on a test, right, doesn't mean that it's right to be treated. And at the same time, things often don't show up on tests, right? And you need a good professional who can read through that, because I can tell you one thing, parasites don't show up on tests. Right? And you need somebody who really knows what they're doing to be able to say, I don't see this on the test, but I know you have it. And I'm going to use my clinical judgment and we're going to treat this, because these are the kinds of things. It takes a year to heal a gut or more, right? And I think, you know, one of the things, for those of you guys who follow me on social media and who don't, you can see my whole story, my whole, you know, along the road. You got to expect that it's going to take longer than you want to invest time and emotional energy into. And if you can just adjust your expectations, I promise you the process will go faster, be easier, and you'll be less frustrated. It's all about expectations.
Oh my God. It really comes back to that mental state. There's so much of your mind that is involved in this healing and involved in the initial, you know, host of problems as well, isn't there? And people don't want to hear that because that's confusing.
You got to be committed to healing, and you got to see that it's going to happen, right? And you got to see that that's going to be your outcome, because if no matter how good the practitioner or the protocol or whatever, if you don't think you're going to heal, you're not going to heal. And that's the bottom line.
That's the number one thing. I say that all the time.
Me too.
I don't believe that you believe that you're going to get better. I don't believe that you want to be sick, but some part of something that has happened in your life does not want you to think that this is going to happen. That is your number one barrier. And that's a therapist, not for me. Sorry.
That's the only, you know, people say to me, like, what's your success rate? I'm like, I can help anybody who wants to be helped. Truly.
That's a great response.
The only people who I can't help are people who don't want to do the work or don't think they can get better or don't want to get better. That's it.
Wow. It's such a mental thing. I also think, tell me what you guys feel about this. It takes a person who's aware of themselves, at least to a degree. You have to pay attention. You have to be aware of what you feel like and what you're experiencing in your body, in order to be able to convey that to somebody, to be able to interpret what that might mean or what the most impactful intervention is going to look like, right? Like, you can't just be flopping around unaware of everything you're doing and everything you're feeling and then expect a total stranger to put your shit together.
And I definitely will say it's okay if you walk into the process not knowing how to self-assess, but if you're willing to learn, and if you're willing to work with your practitioner to get in touch with the feelings we need to know about anything is possible. It's those who are, again, not willing or don't want to pay attention that can't, that will have trouble until they commit to saying, you know what, I'm willing to notice what I feel, right? I'm willing to allow myself. And it may take a psychologist, therapist, somebody else to help in the process, right? Because any of us dealing with gut stuff, there's a certain amount of trauma that goes along with gut stuff, right? Beforehand, during, after, upside down, backwards, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And that's great too. If we need to, you know, I end up involving a lot of other practitioners in the care of my patients because it takes a village. And, you know, and that's just par for the course. So if the, you know, baseline, like, let's do these things and see if your bloating gets better, things don't work, then we would definitely recommend looking into working with somebody, getting further work. But you got to do the other things anyway.
Mm-hmm. I also think, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I also think there's definitely room for a group of people who are listening to this and thinking, oh, like, it's not that I'm not willing to do the work. It's not that it is so much extra effort to create awareness for your wellness. And that takes a very special kind of dedication that maybe there's a group of people that are just not in the place to do that right now, and that's also fine too. But I think just, you make a really great point about creating the space, not only recognizing or acknowledging or believing that you can heal, but like, it's almost like creating the space to do so. And with that comes along with creating the space to be more aware and paying attention and listening.
Yeah, totally. Right. And I definitely think for, like, those out there who are, like, you know, feeling overwhelmed by this conversation, right? There will be a practitioner, if and when you're ready, there will be a practitioner that you will vibe with, who mm-hmm. can help you through this process, who can give you digestible information in a way that works for you, right? And that's mm-hmm. like, that's how the magic happens, is you find somebody you vibe with and you trust them, you know, through whatever it takes you to trust them, but you trust them to help you create the flow.
Yeah. Got to do the vibe check.
100%.
We spent about a half an hour vibe checking before we recorded this.
Yeah. Always do the vibe check.
Meg, both of you, I appreciate that, the idea of what you're saying, because that in and of itself is a full-time job for some people, just tracking down the right person. So just acknowledging that for everybody, because if some of you are finding yourself in that, here's your head nod. Yes, you're not alone. We see you. That part of it is totally real. And then I guess in the meantime, while you're searching for the right person, go back a few minutes in this conversation to that laundry list of things that, as Isabel was saying, whether you do it with somebody in tandem with some crazy protocol, or you start it now, even if you don't see any difference, those are the non-negotiables. They have to be in place, or else you're already starting behind, right?
Oh, I love that you said that. Non-negotiables. Such a good way to put that. Yeah.
Ryan hates when I say that.
Well, I love it. I'm going to get you a magnet, and I'm going to get you a magnet to put on your fridge so Brian has to read it all the time. Non-negotiables.
Like, I don't have any non-negotiables. Maybe you should.
Maybe you should. Isabel, thank you so, so much. I am so thrilled at, like Kylie said, the laundry list of suggestions that you've brought to the table here. I think they're all super attainable, super doable, and as Kylie put it, the non-negotiables for people as a place to start, and while they're doing their vibe checking for the right practitioner, if they feel like they need that. So tell us actually, Kylie, do you have any other questions?
No, I was just going to do what you're doing and have her tell us where they could find her. Okay, I want to hear a little bit about your program.
Yeah,
I think that will be a huge thing for people.
Yeah, let's hear about the program and then you can tell us where people can find and connect with you.
So we're launching, because we identified this as like such a problem, I was like, we got to make a course on this. So we're launching what's called the Bloat-Free Blueprint. The 12th of September originally was launching in August, but people are traveling and we just, you know, it's actually going to be, you can join it anytime after September 12th, whether you join it on September 12th for the launch. What it's going to be is it's going to be 6 weeks of our like tried and true protocol, some of which I just shared with you, kind of laid out in a really digestible manner. Weekly calls with me, extra calls with my team, lots of extra like resources and support. You can do it at your own pace, but there will be like live check-ins with me and my team every week, which means so you can join it at any time, actually, which is great because you don't have to be there for the September 12th launch. You can join it in October or November, and there will be people at different stages in their journey also on the live calls, but that's really powerful and actually can be really impactful, which is why we're doing it this way.
Totally.
So you can find me at Isabel Smith Nutrition is my Instagram handle, also my website. And, you know, it's such a treat to be on here, guys. Kylie and Meg talking about the bloat. The only thing I will say is be patient, everybody listening. Be patient. Ask for help. Mm. You know, don't stop seeking answers to the questions you have about your own body. Mm-hmm. You can heal. Just remember that.
Yeah. Also, it's not all in your head.
Mm. Correct.
Mm.
Correct. Oh. I am a very small person. For those of you who have never like seen me in person or seen me online, I'm a very small person. And when I was going through like the depths of my gut issues, I was feeling very bloated. And I remember I was at the gastroenterologist and she looked at me and she's like, "Oh, but you're so thin. It doesn't even matter." I was like, "Oh, I feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't care." I was like, "What?" And I was also just like, "What? Like, it doesn't matter what size you are. You're uncomfortable. Like, it's uncomfortable. Meg, this is not normal."
I had the exact same experience. Said to my practitioner, I said, "I feel like I'm 4 months pregnant." And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, you do not look like you're 4 months pregnant." And I was like, "I think you missed the point, ma'am."
Yeah.
The point is how I feel.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm telling you I feel awful and you're not. Everybody listening to this is shaking their head. Yes. Oh my God. I know they are. I can feel it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's my little, we haven't done a health what the fuck moment in a while. I guess that was kind of what that
there
was.
Again, there it is. Isabel, that little love note at the end though. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah. Thank you so much good. For that. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Thank you all for right, having guys. Me. Such a treat.
Yeah, thank you
so much. Thank you. Hey, all. Thank you so much for listening and being here with us. It really means the world to us. And we want to let you know that we really love to hear from you and we want to know what you're more and more curious about. So if you are having a particular experience and you'd love for us to track down an expert to try to teach everybody more about that, let us know. Or on the other hand, if you have had an amazing experience with a practitioner who you think would be really great for our show, let us know. We would love to try to bring them on and spread the good news. Thank you so much. Let us know. We're happy to hear from you.